served up with wicked delight on the reality TV series The Boule Brothers Dragula. The search for the world's next drag super monster, now on Netflix.
Although the Boule Brothers take sickening pleasure in torturing their contestants, the show has a lot of heart. Dragula's bloody heart truly breaks free from stifling conformity with the host's belief that drag can't be mainstream at its core. As they say, most contemporary drag was born in seedy gay bars around sex, violence, and drugs.
Today, the Boule Brothers, Dracmorda and Swanthula, the hosts and creators of Dragula, join us to take a look at their groundbreaking third season and all the gore that didn't make the final cut.
Plus, which challenges would scare them the most if they were contestants on their own show?
Do you really know about fear? Take our quiz and find out.
What we didn't see during Madeline Hatter's emotional breakdown.
And what spells you need to cast to get on season 4. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Oh, you like my clown nose?
Oh, it's adorable.
Thank you. Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. For the past 15 years, our microphones, hard drives, mixers, and cables have fearlessly been recording podcasts with thousands of legendary LGBTQ artists. Right now, we need your help to save Feast of Fun. Two of our microphones are broken, our equipment and our website have had it, and are in urgent need of repairs in order to continue. Plus, we'd like to bring back our special forums for listeners and guests of the show, a truly fun place to chat without fear of having their privacy compromised or exposing themselves to Facebook. This holiday season, please consider stuffing your stocking with Feast of Fun. Go to GoFundMe.com/SaveFeastOfFun and pledge any amount today. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, this is Swanthula.
Hello, uglies.
Oh, doesn't it feel good to say it?
It feels wonderful.
It does.
How are you guys doing?
We're great.
And why wouldn't you be? Dragula is a hit, and it's now on Netflix.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. We're still like recuperating, trying to feel full strength after the Halloween extravaganza that this year was. It was a lot of events, a lot of parties. It was really kind of an amazing season for us this year. And then to top it all off, the announcement on Netflix on Halloween night, it was like the purest and most powerful form of dark magic we could have been blessed with.
What kind of spell did you cast? And can I borrow it?
When you're ready.
I'm gonna have to stand in line. You guys have so many apprentices. Could you take a few more?
Absolutely. You know how you guys look in a jock strap too, so that's part of their requirement.
Well, you guys are quite handsome underneath all that illustrious makeup.
Oh, thank you.
And that's the number one question I get asked by everybody is, what do these Boule brothers look like out of drag? And I've been in an elevator with the both of you, and I didn't even realize I was talking to you both.
Yeah, I love people. That happens to us a lot. Like, we'll be in LA and we'll be, you know, in a mutual space with someone, like even an elevator actually once, and there's people that we know and they just have no idea. It's very odd, but it's you know, it's something we purposely do, so we kind of like our private life to be private.
Yeah. Do both of you guys do your own makeup? It's so good.
Yes, it's true.
So do you guys practice on each other's faces, or each one is like looking at each other and be like, okay, you need a little bit more orange on your lips?
No, it's kind of odd, like the way that we do it now, we don't even look at each other. And I think it's because Swan learned to do makeup first, and then she taught me. So it's just sort of like the same sort of process. So we have differences. If you really look closely at us, our process is different, but in the end, somehow we end up looking like each other. So we just go with it.
So you're not sitting next to each other at mirrors being like, okay, no, make that a little bit higher. Okay. A little bit higher for the cheeks, that kind of stuff.
Well, we're sitting next to each other, but we're not looking at each other the whole time.
When we're home, there's like the whole station, the whole like where all the beauty sorcery happens. But when we're traveling, it'll be like, oh, you're in one side of the hotel room and I'm on this side. Or, we'll check in and kind of be like, oh, what are we doing with eyebrows today? Okay, great, that shape. Or like, what lip are we going to wear? And, answer those kind of questions, but we don't have to check in. It's kind of like this sixth sense kind of thing.
Mm. One thing I've really enjoyed about the second and third season is not just the competition, but the film, the narrative, the skits that you guys do in the beginning of the show.
Yes.
I imagine you guys have probably talked about making a movie.
Yeah, it's actually something that's come up quite a bit over the last season. I think when the network started seeing what we were doing, and they were really surprised, and they're like, wow, and that's like a passion of ours. Horror and film is certainly something that we've been interested in forever. So it's just came up a lot, and it's something that we are pursuing, that we do want to do. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
At least say nightmares. Keep your eyes peeled, you really mean it. Break out the eye peeler.
The carrot peeler, yeah.
Well, this season was a landmark season for reality television and for drag queens and drag kings. You guys had a wide variety of contestants. In the last season, you had a cisgendered, heterosexual, mostly, Disasterina.
Yes.
Assigned female at birth, that's Hollow Eve. And your drag king winner, all hail the king,
Landon Sider.
Yeah.
Yes, and actually Priscilla Chambers is and trans Priscilla. As well.
Yes. You guys had such a diverse group of people this season, and you managed to crown a drag king. How did that all come together?
The show was born out of the nightlife event of the same name, Dragula. And from the beginning, through our aesthetic, what we believe, our experience, the world of drag, the drag that we experienced going back to New York and coming to California, the world wasn't so segregated the way that everyone is programmed to believe that it is today. We would have accepted AFAB performers and drag kings at season one. We even tried to encourage people to audition when we were putting the first season together. However, everyone believes that if they're going to do a drag show, they only want the queens. So we had to kind of retrain everybody and say, look, the door is thrown wide open. Drag is for everybody, can be performed by anybody. And it just took our third season for the, the people auditioning to catch up to that.
Yeah. And I think also, we don't want to just cast, hey, let's try to be diverse. So let's look for people and try to have them, fit into this mold. We need to see the performer and know that they fit Dragula. And like, for example, with Hollow Eve, Hollow is 100% Dragula. Like, to me, we felt like we need to include this person in the season no matter what. And it wasn't because they were a AFAB queen. It was just because they fit the mold of the show.
Yeah, filth, right?
Isn't that what is it? Horror, filth, glamour, and baking.
For you guys, maybe.
And Cookie Crisp cereal. How did you guys come up with all these extermination challenges? Because there's a lot of really wonderful psychological experiments happening here.
So it's a combination of a couple of things. One, we are sadistic, of course. So we sort of sit, it's sort of like this picture sitting around with your friends and being like, oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing if we could get a drag queen to do that? It's that kind of thing, So we know people in our scene and people that we do events with and stuff. And we just think it's fun to create these outrageous scenarios and to see drag performers do that on TV is just so unusual and it's entertaining. And so that's how it started. But then there is a whole another side to it about facing your fear. We're doing sort of a horror themed drag competition show, and horror has a lot to do with fear and fighting back and all those sort of things. And so I think that some of the challenges we came up with were intended to push people to face their fear.
But it's such a good commentary on the art of drag to try to get Louisiana Purchase to staple money to her thigh. And I ran into her in Austin after that was shortly taped, and she was showing me her scars. Is that safe? Is it sanitary?
I don't know if I believe that, maybe.
It's funny because some of the stuff that we see on the show, I know that it makes a lot of people gag and they're like, oh my God, how could they do that? This is crazy. When you're kind of in the performance circle, I guess the circuit of like underground performances, whether it be in LA or San Francisco or Austin or whatever, you see these kind of things. You see people doing stapling to their face and angle grinding and like body suspension and all this kind of stuff. We just kind of wanted to take some of that and take it out from the shadows and put it in the light for everybody to see.
And it's also, you know, the show is based off of our drag, and you know, where we came from in drag is not your traditional space. We're trying to create a new arena for drag to exist in. And we used to throw fetish parties back in the beginning. So a lot of the things that, yeah. So a lot of these things that we have that the competitors do are things that we have done ourselves. For example, we used to go to Wasteland Week, and we were like the first drag characters at Wasteland Week. And we hosted it for a long time, a couple years in a row. And we all, you know, we have tattoos and piercings and everything. So a lot of this stuff is really not that outrageous for us or people that we came up with, but you know, obviously other people are very shocked by it.
So, the real shocker is there's so much more. There's so many lists of ideas.
So is that the couple that bondages together stays together?
Bonding and bondage are very, you know, they're not so different.
So of all the challenges that you guys had the contestants do this year, what is there any of the challenges that you yourself were like, that's something I would never want to do? Or what was the thing that would have pressed you the most?
I think for me, there's nothing I wouldn't do because I wouldn't ask them to do something that I wouldn't do. In previous seasons, we could have said, there's nothing I would ask them to do that I haven't done. But this season, we did ask them to do a couple of things that we haven't done. I would not like to jump out of a plane, but I would absolutely do it. What about you?
I answer this question the same way every time because it's truly my Achilles heel. Like eating weird shit, like, you know, like whatever it was, like pig's feet and milk and tobacco, whatever kind of concoction that was brewing up in some of those challenges, it would go in my mouth and then it would just be projectile. And I don't even think I could say anything. You know, I could help it at all.
It's weird when we come up with this stuff and we're sitting with the other producers. I personally get excited about it because we're like, this is what we would like to do. I would love to go on a show and do these exterminations versus, you know, let's say Drag Race. If they're like, go and lip sync to a Mariah Carey song, that would be terrible.
That would be not terrible.
Yeah. Or like, do a comedy challenge or be cute. I'd be like, holy shit, this is the worst experience of my life. So for me, I'm like, sign me up. Let's do it.
Yeah. We're kind of thrill seekers too. So all this stuff, you know, a lot of this stuff appeals to us. It's exciting. It's thrilling.
I want you guys to take a pop quiz on fear.
Okay.
This is according to Chapman University, a survey of Americans from 2018, the largest and most thorough study on phobias and fears. And they pull thousands of people all from different walks of life, from different political persuasions. And what is the number one concern and fear, anxiety that Americans have? And it's not public speaking.
Is it finances?
Is that your final answer?
Well, that's Drax.
That's
Drax's answer.
Okay.
So I'm going to say being alone, like not finding someone to spend your life with.
So I guess I needed my. So
where's the fail button?
Yeah, the fail button is somewhere else. But I have the bell button for winner.
Oh, I like that.
The number one thing that Americans are afraid of is corrupt government officials like Donald Trump.
You're kidding. That is not true.
73%.
That is fake news.
That is totally fake news.
73% of people polled by that were afraid of corrupt government officials like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Regardless of your political persuasion, you're afraid of the government.
Mm.
Oh, but that's who we elect. Oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. That's like, hi, what's the number one thing drag queens are afraid of? Lipstick. Okay, sure.
What's scarier, zombies, ghosts, or clowns?
People always say clowns.
People say clowns. They're going to say clowns. Yeah.
Sorry.
Is it ghosts?
Zombies are scarier than both.
We are not like these people at all. That's why we are.
Think of it as like Family Feud. It's not your answer. Okay. It's what people at the mall do.
Okay, right, right.
So zombies are the scariest. Besides not having finished high school, what's the number one predictor that you are a fearful person? And it's not your politics.
You're a fearful person?
Yeah. What's a big predictor of fear?
It's such a big thing.
What's the number one thing Americans do that makes them more and more scared of things?
I don't even understand the question.
It's the news. It's the news.
Yes. Watching the news. Correct. Watching television. And the number, it's not the news that makes them scared. It's reality television.
It was zombie shows.
Where's my bell?
I got it right here. What scares Americans the least? What is the least thing they're scared of? Was the thing everyone?
Is there a choice?
I'll give you some
puppies. I mean,
sexual harassment in the workplace, gossip.
This is a weird poll.
And people talking about you in the back. This is the least thing they're worried about. Are rats?
Oh, so okay. There was a choice. They of three, like things.
Three, yes.
Okay, rats, so they gossip, like gossip or
sexual harassment.
Which is the thing they're fearful of the least? Yes. Is it sexual? Gossip or rats?
Rats.
Drakmorta says rats. Swanthula?
Jesus. Gossip.
Rats is the answer. Nobody cares about those stupid rats.
Because they're all trash. That's why.
Are you going to have contestants eat rats?
So who's the winner?
We each got one.
You both got one. Oh, it's perfection. You guys were made for each other.
It's true.
You're so in love. This is gross. So since you guys work together so closely, what kind of things do you guys do? I mean, besides bondage, to decompress?
We find the most isolated place we can, far away from other living things. We go out to the desert and we camp with our dog and we just like stay away from people.
What kind of dog do you have?
Pit bull.
Oh, has the dog been on the show?
No, she's never going to be, and we're not going to talk about her.
You know, I didn't realize that boulet is French for drag.
Yes, we discovered that later.
What?
Later on.
How did you guys come with the name boulet? Is it an old French family name?
I've learned this very recently. It is a term in French for drag, but it's not like drag as in cross-dressing or the way that we're using it. It means to like drag something across the floor. Or to drag your enemy, like scalp them and drag them.
Oh, close.
They play a game called Le Boule, which is like bocce, right? So it's probably like that kind of like...
Do you guys know that the origin of drag in terms of cross-dressing and theater comes from also dragging a fox through the fields?
Well, scent of fox.
A scent to create a scent?
This is of a course. Theory.
So back in the day, they would drag a fox and they would call it a drag hunt. And it was
fox. It would take fox urine on a cloth or something or some oil. And they would take it and they would drag it behind a horse. And, you know, if you do a fox hunt, the fox can go anywhere. But if you do a drag hunt, you can take it and it's staged. So you can take it down lovely country roads. And so people are just following the scent. So it's a much nicer thing.
And then so that led to the term drag racing. And so the term drag originated as a synonym for staging.
Did you guys get this information from the same place you got your poll answers? Because I think you did.
Actually, I saw a TV show and this guy said, oh, you're here at this party. I thought your drag hunt was over. I was like, what the fuck is a drag hunt? You know, it's like some Victorian show.
I find that word pejorative. <You know>?
and so the thing about it is, you know, there's a lot of debate of where this idea comes from. But it really is to do something in drag is means to impersonate, to stage, to create fantasy.
And that is our specialty.
And that's your specialty. And in terms of like queer sensibility, like queer people are very attracted to horror too.
Yes, that's true. And well, you know, you look back at old horror movies, and a lot of times the idea of cross-dressing or queerness is something that the main antagonizer goes back and forth with a lot. So if you look at like Psycho, like dressing up like his mom, and
even Leatherface, and like Silence of the Lambs, there's like this otherness of like a cross-dresser that's vilified, and it becomes kind of like the monster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess in our case, we had someone to look up to when we were watching this.
Dahlia Black's final look, with all the skin and faces of the other drag queens sewn in a Silence of the Lambs style, it was so good.
Do you mean the four faces?
Yes. She made the perfect drag outfit from the skins of her enemies.
Yeah. It was impressive. Like, she's so creative and so young. It's kind of stunning what she's capable of. It really is.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Landon Sider's demented Tin Man, it was just a fantastic look.
We love the idea of taking some childhood fantasies and things that put smile on people's faces and twisting it into some like nightmarish gore fest. Like, it was so fun to watch.
I heard a rumor that the theater that you guys film in was being used for like weddings and bar mitzvahs, and you guys had to strike the set all the time.
That's part true, but this is like kind of like a telephone game. Like, the theater that we use to film is actually a space that we use for some of the largest events that we throw in Los Angeles, like our Halloween ball or the New Year's Eve ball. You know, it fits several thousand, but not because there's different type of events there all the time. Like, film crews come in and they do events 5 to 7 days a week. So sometimes if we had things set up in some of like the lower levels, and they needed to have access to those spaces days that we would shoot, we would have to strike the set.
Yeah, actually Madonna's video shot there. I think her latest video was shot there.
Which video? The Medellin?
It's like
basically the one where there's like a giant shooting.
Oh my God, God Control was shot there too?
Yeah, it was.
Yes, and actually they shot an episode of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's a really old, beautiful theater. It's sort of the perfect home for us, because there are just dozens of rooms that people don't even know about in there. And a lot of times you'll see on the show, like where we put the bodies after we kill the competitors, you'll see them at the Last Suppers and stuff. Those rooms are like in catacombs that like very few people can even access. It's really mysterious.
Yeah, there's been some scenes where the areas in the theater that we're in, like, patrons aren't allowed in because it's been sequestered off for like decades. So you climb the staircase in the dark, there's no power, there's like layers of dust just to get up and into some of these areas of the theater that have just been blocked off for who knows how long.
But we're allowed to go anywhere we want.
Oh gosh. You know, it's like when you guys took the contestants into that haunted house, Louisiana was telling me that it was crumbling all around them, that they were like really fearing for their lives.
Yes, it was very scary. It's very dangerous. That is an old haunt attraction that is no longer in use because it's decrepit and it is crumbling. So it was actually super dangerous to film in there and to put them through. But that was sort of, you know, it was the finale. We really had to make them fear for their lives. So
are you worried like in future seasons it's going to be hard to like top yourselves? Or
that sounded like a
that
sounded questionable.
No,
I saw I'm that not. In a movie once. You have to have a really long to top yourself.
I'm not worried about that at all. I feel like, you know, we have so much creativity and we have tons of ideas. What's tricky is to try to match exterminations to the challenges of the episode. So we have tons of ideas for exterminations. They just have to match the theme. So when we sit down and say, what challenges do we want to put out this year, we just have to make sure that, you know, the intros and the exterminations all line up
and match the challenge. Yeah, I actually love that part of conceptualizing the episodes. And we knew that we were going to time the releases different this season, and Halloween would be the apex and the, you know, the crowning. So doing a Halloween episode was something we knew we wanted to do. So matching that with a fucking haunted house was such a thrill. You know, it was just so exciting to like come up with that idea, then find the haunt and just, you know, let our imaginations run wild.
Well, you guys had some really wonderful guest judges. I mean, Henry Rollins and Peaches Christ. That was such a good pairing there.
Peaches is fantastic.
She's such a good judge.
Henry's great too. You know, it's really fun to have a straight guy who is really not freaked out in any way by drag queens or queer people come and help judge the show. Cause you know, he has so much knowledge about performing and bands and things like that. So we thought he was the perfect judge, but we were also happy to bring in a lot of women from, you know, the horror industry, mm-hmm. because a lot of times they don't get a lot of shine. And some of these, the people that we brought in were icons that we looked up to and watched over the years. So for us,
you mean Amanda Lepore?
No, exactly. Scary, right?
Scary talented.
You know, like Bonnie Aarons, yes. who's the nun, you know, and
Millie Shapiro, Danielle Hurst, Rachel True.
It was fun to see them, especially because a lot of them, you know, they were in these classic films and then you haven't seen them for years and then you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Felissa Rose, too, yeah. from Sleepaway mm-hmm. Camp. That was great. So it was fun to be able to do that. You know, we try to like not cram messages down people's throat, but sort of by just bringing in female judges from that space, we were trying to say something.
Well, we live by this kind of unspoken agreement. Like we just kind of naturally gravitate toward it. It's like, don't talk about it. Just kind of be about it. Don't say it. Do it. So when people see our even our crew, like the diversity that you see on the cast is mirrored by the diversity that work on the show kind of behind the scenes. So, you know, there's trans people on the crew. There's lots of females. There's, you know, gay guys or straight guys. We really do just kind of like mix it up. And, you know, it would be easy and tempting to just be like, we're just going to stock the crew with gay guys or whatever.
Yeah, and think that's diverse. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
So you guys are so like Frances McDormand. Two words, inclusion writer.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's not, it's more, it's less about going out of our way to be inclusive in that sense and more about just being open and not caring about people's gender, you know, mm-hmm. especially with, because we found out too, the more experience we got in the TV industry that, you know, for example, female camera operators don't get hired a lot. And we were like, why? What is that about? You know what I mean? And there's just this like, misogyny there that we were sort of unaware of. So of course we didn't let that, we just hired who we wanted and who did a good job. And it happened to be, half of them were female
at half price. No, I'm just kidding.
What I thought was interesting too is, you know, with Madeline Hatter, when she was up for elimination and you guys decided to show where she was really just kind of throwing a fit and being like, I don't want to do this elimination. This is going to ruin my career. What was it like on set during that time? And what was it like later on when you guys were deciding, what are we going to show to the audience?
That was quite a day.
It was probably one of the hardest days. A lot more than that happened. As you know, when we were telling her about the extermination, the sun was still up. And as you may notice, it was dark by the time we did the extermination. Oh my God. So a lot happened between then. And, you know, obviously we can't put everything on the air because, you know, you have to edit it down to fit the time format. Mm-hmm. But it was uncomfortable, you know. We like Madeline. We like all the contestants. We're actually fans of everyone that we cast. Mm. So we really want them to thrive and do well. And it's uncomfortable when someone gets upset like that, especially with Madeline, who had in the past given other competitors a hard time when they wouldn't do exterminations. Mm. You know what I mean? That it was kind of difficult to watch.
Aren't we all just big babies sometimes, you know?
Right. But also, you know, the competitors put a lot of trust in us, mm-hmm. in the show, in the process, because they've been working very hard.
They do.
Case in point, Madeline, she has a career that spans years. She works hard. She's talented. She's, you know, she has her own following that she worked for before Dragula. So when we start describing what's about to happen to her, you know, I think questioning that trust happens and maybe it faltered a little bit like, oh, I'm going to be made a fool of. And she completely geeked out, freaked out. I mean, it was like an epic meltdown level, more than what you saw even on the show. And then the reality of what happened, you know, afterward, she was like, okay, wow, I feel a little dumb. Like you know, maybe I kind of completely overreacted and thought that you guys were going to like do something to me that you said you wouldn't, kind of thing.
Well, and that was, I think, part of her challenge as her character was, to me, her greatest fear was to be humiliated. So for her, as a drag performer, not taking yourself too seriously as part of it. And I feel like that was sort of a lesson that she needed to learn. And it just so happened that she ended up in the bottom that week. And it's sort of poetic. I think that it was all, you know, fate. It was as it should be.
As it should have been, yeah. I want to tell you a little something, though. Yeah. It's kind of like, we don't only help the girls develop their drag skills or the competitors develop their drag skills. Sometimes we help them develop their witchy skills as well, because Matt, we were outdoors and it was still as anything could be, like no wind and no clouds. That started happening where Madeline started melting down. And I swear it was like some kind of old, it was like a scene from Carrie or something. The storm clouds rolled in, the wind kicked up, it got freezing as she was screaming. And I was like, oh yeah, this is working on Madeline. Dragula is really pulling it out of her.
If you go back and look at when we introduced the challenge, it's sunny, there's no wind. And if you look at us in the judging, up in the judges booth, look behind us. Mm. It's going insane behind us. Like the wind is going crazy.
I remember seeing it and I'm thinking, God, their audio sounds so good with that wind going on.
Yo, that's okay. What I thought too.
Like, this is going to be a mess. Like, how are they going to even salvage the sound at all?
Because yeah, it was also just like one take straight through because there was a meltdown. So the, you know,
we're
that was
out of sunlight. Yeah.
One thing that is so much fun to watch is the delight you guys have in eliminating the queens, or what is it that they say?
The thing that I love the best is, like, we've separated you into two different teams and we've selected your teams for you because we're smarter than you. I just love all those little digs that you give to them. And it is so shady. And it's just meant when it's so much fun and it really comes through. But I'm sure some people are like, they're so mean.
Yeah, a little bit.
You get it.
Yeah. It's hysterical. I mean, it's not what drag is about. It's about, you know, breaking down all these kinds of walls and these artifices and these politenesses.
Yeah, so it needs to be fun. Like, people start to take everything, in our opinion, and we're allowed to have an opinion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Objective, like art.
Yes, people start getting too serious and too. It's like we're all family here. Mm-hmm. Like, just calm the fuck down. You know what I mean? Like, we're all family here. We're having a good time. Like, let's get crazy. Let's make some good TV.
Drag is art, and art is subjective. How did you guys come to decide to say that in every episode? There's so much wisdom in that statement.
I think it started with saying, you know, we're sitting up here and judging the competitors, but we're not judging them like, hey, I'm the best makeup artist, I'm the best performer, I'm the best lip syncer, I'm the best actor. That's not what we're saying. Mm-hmm. We're not judging them because we're better than them at everything. We're judging them. It's more like we've created a competition. We've created a game and they're playing the game and they're using their drag to win the game. And so we just don't want them to lose sight and ever think that we are looking down on their drag, because we're not, especially where we come from, you know, this John Waters world. We can appreciate really trashy drag to really polished drag to everything in between. So we just never want them to think that we're judging them in that way. You know what I mean?
Well, a lot of people don't realize, like, Hello Uglies is Taffy from Female Trouble.
Yes, we pull from all that kind of stuff, you know. So there's another aspect to the, like, drag is art and art is objective, because once, you know, we're in the third season now, we started to get an objectivity about our own existence in other people's minds. Like, they don't know who we are. They don't necessarily know exactly where we're coming from. So we wanted to make sure that the audience was aware that we're not coming from this superior place. And this is the nature of our competition. And this is the way that we view what we all do, and it is an art. So we wouldn't look down on our nose and tell someone they're doing it the right way or the wrong way. Cause we kind of believe more that there aren't very many rules in this art form. And we just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Well, I think the show is just such a hit. You guys are going to be swimming in fame and fortune if you aren't already.
And blood.
You know what I think, and I could be wrong, but that's not something that we've ever been interested in. And I think that maybe, knock on wood, that's why, you know, we've had the amount of success that we have at this point, is that we really just love what we're doing. And that's why we're doing it. And it didn't matter to us if we made money or didn't make money. I mean, you could tell from season one, our heart's in it from moment one, you know? And so that's, I think maybe if we just stay that route, then we'll be on the right path.
But you guys are so lovable, and there's so much, you know, even talking to fans of the show, it's just a different dynamic than other. And I want to talk. I don't want to bring down other reality TV shows. You know, it's like they have their different dynamics, but there's this just a real wholesome quality to the people who are fans of Dragula that I just really warms my black little heart.
Well, we're all kind of misfits at heart, right? Like you think about growing up queer, and you guys probably grew up, you know, relatively in the same generation as we did, and it sucked being gay as a kid, you know, and we were misfits, and most of the people that we know were misfits and kind of treated poorly. And so, I think we kind of bring that through celebrating those things that we used to get harassed for as adults. We celebrate that. And I think that resonates with a lot of people.
Certainly.
What do you guys look like out of drag? Like, do you have hair on your head? Do you have a beard? Do you like,
that's us to know and no one else.
Don't say to find out.
Were you guys shaving your heads for the season, or was that like a bald cap?
We shaved our heads.
Oh my God, that's hardcore. So at home, when you guys are in bed together, you're like, ugh, rub it, Kojak.
It's like cone heads.
I call it Gollum mode, or like, you know, yeah, Gollum.
We look like evil, I don't know, we look like monsters. And it's funny because we're like, oh, okay, let's look like monsters for the next 3 months. And that's, we just end up looking like that for a while. Because we shave everything, you know, eyebrows, everything, and then you're just kind of like hideous for a while.
Because it's just easier to do the drag and you get better looks, right? Because you don't have to wrestle against that body hair.
Yeah, it cuts out probably like maybe 45 minutes of the process. So if you're doing that daily, that ends up to be a lot of time that you're not in front of the mirror. Mm-hmm. And then the makeup goes on so effortlessly, not effortlessly, but it's just a smooth effect.
And there were looks that we kind of had designed in the off season that we're like, we really want to do this look, but it's bald. So we're like, fuck it, let's shave our head, you know?
Right on. I got to ask you, because like sometimes this past season is the episodes just kind of randomly dropped, or they didn't show up at all. And some of the fans were just like, what is happening?
I think they're spoiled for starters. But, you know, I think it was much to do about nothing. Like, I think, you know, what it was Amazon wanted to drop the entire show at once because that's what they do. And, you know, we were like, no, it's this competition show. You have to build momentum and there's viewing parties and all this. So they really tried to accommodate us and work with us and the other networks to do it. But honestly, as big as they are, it's their system just isn't set up that way. So it would literally be like, you know, and we kind of caused a bit of it because the first episode came out on time. That was fine. The second episode was like, it was an hour late and people were like, oh, you know, people online were going crazy. So we're like, we don't work in the tech department, so we don't know. So we start calling all our people. They start calling people. And then so people at Amazon just start freaking out and trying to release it because they're like, oh my God, they're upset. Let's get it out there. And then they do goofy shit like release 2 episodes or it was just not something they were used to doing. And they really tried, but they just don't come from the same culture that we do and understand.
There's a momentum to it. Yeah. There's a magic flow release. And there were a few other like, I'd say miscommunications and like promises that were made and not met on other people's part. So what turned into a period where we were so excited to get this season out because we really poured even more of ourselves into it. We knew the changes that we made. We were so excited to see the product, but most excited to share it with people. And we were like, oh, we finally did it. All this production and the pre-production and all the work and all the ideas, it all came to fruition. We're like, yes. Oh my God, the first episode, what turned into a 10-week white knuckling nightmare.
It was probably the worst experience of our life, really, with the release schedule. But the thing was, people at the viewers didn't understand. You know, they were just like, "What the episodes? Blah blah blah." And I'm just like, "Oh my God, this is a fucking nightmare." You know, but the show was so good that's what was so frustrating. Because I'm going to go ahead and toot our own horn and say this. Everything on our end was done perfectly. It was on time. No, I'm telling you, all the closed captions, everything was perfect and delivered on time. So I'm like, nobody better give us any attitude.
It's just the way that
Since you guys are Amazon.com employees now, can you guys handle this return that I'm...
Well, now that they've moved to Netflix, is fantastic.
We're no longer on Amazon. Yeah, Amazon, we are exclusively on Netflix. We're not on any other platforms. It's only Netflix now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What have you guys learned about doing a TV show with your husband?
It's fun.
Yeah. It's like, I think this industry is really crazy and trying, you know, probably like most industries, but we come from a different world. So we're learning television over the past couple of years. And I think that gears can shift daily. You think something is going to happen and then it doesn't. You have no idea that something has happened. And then someone calls you on Halloween and says, you're going on Netflix in an hour. You know, so like that, you know, it's just crazy shit. So to have someone that you trust, someone that you know, and someone that you can rely on is invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, what I will say is that you have to love what you're doing because it's all we do. I mean, we have worked, I'm not kidding you, from January until the last episode came out, the only thing we did was this show. And I mean, it was, you have a little bit of time to sleep here and there, and that's about it. And otherwise you're working. And the people on our team were doing the same thing. They were over there sweating in the office, editing and, you know, fielding calls and dealing with all this fucking Amazon drama.
We're very grateful to them too, because they believe in it just as much as we do. And, you know, our team is kick ass.
Well, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes your nightmares come true.
It's true.
And one nightmare of mine to come true would be to cook with the two of you guys here in our home studio. Mark and I will shave our heads for it.
All right. Okay. Let us do it.
Let's all bald queens.
And then we're going to cook with our own hair.
What do you guys see us all cooking together is the question.
I was thinking we would be making beef Wellington.
It's meat wrapped up in a delicate pastry.
And it's oh so good.
But we're going to make it with eels.
Okay. Another thought I was thinking about was like deconstruction. Deconstruction is a big, big idea in food cuisine. So it's about like pulling all apart the elements of food and that to better understand them. I think about blood and I think about sangria and I think about, you know, blood sausage and bloody meals. So I'm thinking of some like meaty dish that we
Sheep's
can
head.
Sink our teeth into.
Well, I can think of a very horrible, scary dish that that most people think is horrible and I think is delicious, which is, I'm from the South. So have you ever heard of Scrapple before?
Yeah, I'm from Pennsylvania.
What's Scrapple?
Okay. Scrapple is delicious is what it
Scrappy
is.
But once
Scrapple. It's like a cornmeal kind of dish.
Scrapple don't.
Yeah. A lot of people do not like it, but I think it's delicious and we can make that because people are scared of it.
Well, I know whatever we make together, it's going to be delicious. So if you're in Chicago soon in the next year, please add an extra day to your itinerary and come into the kitchen, honeys.
We absolutely will. I think it would be fun.
We'll make something really ugly.
Great.
And delicious. Congratulations. I absolutely adore you guys so much. And it's such a pleasure talking to you both.
It was fun. Thank you
for having us. We appreciate it. We always love talking with you guys.
Anytime. Oh, come back next. If we don't see you, come back in the beginning of the next season.
All right.
Okay. It sounds good. It's a deal.
There will be another season, right?
Maybe.
What do you think?
I don't want to come off being acting spoiled or anything, but
wow, I wasn't spoiled about the release. I think an hour, people can wait an hour for a release.
Where's my Hoss and Pfeffer?
I mean, look, I'm not gonna lie, I get it. If we're sitting here in a show that we're like, let's order our dinner and sit down and get ready to watch the show, we sit on the couch and if it's not there, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So I am that person too. I totally understand where they're coming from.
Hey, if somebody wants to audition for you guys, what's a good way of sending their tape to you?
They just have to wait for when we open auditions. We haven't done that yet. So they just need to, we'll tell everybody on our social media when it's time for that to happen.
And is there a way to sweeten the deal?
Well, I'll give this advice. The final part of the audition tape requires you to do something horrendous in public. And a lot of times people will sleep on that. And that is the most important part of the audition. In fact, it got someone cast on this season. It's what made us cast them. So when people think they don't have to do that, they're fabulous, or they already have a following and they don't have to take it seriously, we don't cast them.
Can you tell us what they did to get them cast?
They got in a Wendy's costume. So they dressed up like Wendy's, like the hamburger, it's Wendy.
Yeah.
And went into a Wendy's and ordered all this food. And she had her belly out and she looked crazy. It was Violencia.
Okay.
And she went into Wendy's and it was a full on performance and she was not faking it. The people sitting around were looking at her like she was insane. She was pouring milkshakes all over. They tried to kick her out. It was incredible.
I love it.
So it was so John Waters. She, it was so funny.
She was in character the whole time. She was like, my dad is dead. And she's like eating the hamburgers and crying.
But she was talking about what's the dad's name?
I don't know. Dave. Whatever the dad
was. It Dave?
Yeah. It was Dave. Yeah, yeah.
Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
There was a picture of Dave Thomas on the wall, and she's like, "My father!" It was like so hilarious.
That's amazing.
I hope you guys ever release a little like bonus clips or anything.
We might, but they always do stuff that we can't put on a network in it, you know. So it's always like you'd have to blur out so much of it. You're like, oh, I can see a quarter size portion of the screen, you know.
Yeah, you can't even show blood on a tampon.
Right. I know. Well, I think they're. I feel like I read somewhere that someone might have gotten away with that recently, but I don't know. I know we were told that we couldn't. So
you can have blood streaming out of someone's head, but not between their legs.
Isn't that weird? I know.
This is America. Let's not forget it.
Yeah.
Well, I just love you guys so much. Keep pushing the envelope. Keep shining on, you crazy wild diamonds.
And torture those drag queens till they're dead.
We will.
Leave no one alive.
We have to get our production frustrations out somehow.
Goodbye.
Take care.
Thank you guys. Bye.
The Boulle brothers live in Los Angeles, California. Check out Dragula, the search for the world's next drag super monster on Netflix. No commercials.
Yay.
Released on time.
Well, you can watch all seasons, I guess, right? Or is it just 2 and 3 on there right now?
You know, Dragula's kind of become one of my favorite reality TV shows, just one of my favorite TV shows, period. Mm-hmm. And I was on every episode this season. And part of it is like, the Boulle brothers are so likable.
There's a real charm to them both. They're very sweet out of drag. And even like when they're being cruel and mean to the girls, there's still, you can see that playfulness come through, you know? Yeah. And again, it's like, they don't, you know, they're not serious, but there's a little bit of fake seriousness there.
Well, and really there's fun. Also wisdom there. There's you know, it's like, art is drag and drag is art and art is subjective is something that only a very intelligent person, a person with a lot of experience and wisdom is going to be able to say and find it so important to make it a cornerstone of the feedback process. Mm. And I think, you know, Dragula as a show with a lot of heart and a lot of creativity and a lot of countercultural sensibilities. And I am just thrilled that it's doing so well and it's taking off. I wish them nothing but the best.
The answer is always more drag, right?
When you have a broken heart, make art.
Aw. I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus or join us on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun and get behind the scenes look at what we do here at Feast of Fun.
Coming up on Cooking with Drag Queens on our YouTube channel this week, Peaches Christ, the devilishly wonderful San Francisco's drag impresario. She's going to be coming in and paying tribute to John Waters by making some crab cakes.
Mm-hmm. Maryland-style crab, Baltimore-style crab cakes.
Maryland-style
crab cakes.
Well, these are Baltimore-style. Okay. Special trashy twist.
They're actually quite delicious, and they're not cheap to make.
It's the most bougie thing we've ever made on the show.
You know, because if you really want to have good crab cakes, it starts with good crab, and good crab is not inexpensive.
And after her, guess who?
Disasterina!
Excuse me. We're going to be making... Should I tell them?
What, with Disasterina?
Yes. It's green curry, turkey, and butternut squash ravioli.
Mm.
So it's green ravioli, but instead of an Italian sauce, it's an Indian curry sauce. A Thai curry sauce. And the combination of flavors with If you've never had green curry with pasta, it is something that's out of this world. And we're making it along with Ave Rose. She pops in at the very end of the video to
Disaster and his wife. Yeah.
Her wife.
But also it's really kind of a lot of fun, too, is we make with her Glubschlaba, which is some drink she always talks about. I'm like, I don't know what's in Glubschlaba, but I imagine, I'm like, what's in it? She's like, sticks, weeds. I'm like, all right, we'll figure something out. It actually tasted pretty good.
You can watch sneak previews of all our future Cooking with Drag Queen episodes and help us fund new projects at our Patreon channel, patreon.com/feastoffun. Join it. You're missing a lot. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to the show. If you like Feast of Fun, hit subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. Make it. Ooh, yeah, baby. We are everywhere. Fine podcasts are found on iTunes, on Snitcher, on Stitcher, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify. Everywhere there's podcasts, there's Feast of Fun. Yeah. And it's available free, honey.
Get it.
Get it. Put it in your phone, your computer, in your ear, and enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.